Tank is funded by listeners like you.
Today on Geek Tank, we talk about coincidences.
And some things happen that are coincidental.
Weird.
Right on the show. You should listen to it and hear what they are.
Right after this. Hi, I'm Guy.
Hi, I'm Troy.
Hi, I'm Chelsea.
And this is Geek Tank.
The Hey Look It Fits size podcast.
Everything's a coincidence.
We're going to talk about coincidences today, but first, the news. In the news, astronauts will take a spacewalk outside the International Space Station starting at approximately 8:10 a.m. Eastern Time on March 29th.
6 a.m. our time.
That's 6 a.m. our time for those of you who are really up for that kind of early stuff. Also on, that's me. On March 29th, a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket will launch the Iridium Next 41 through 50 satellites. My phone went to sleep right in the middle of that.
So did the audience.
From Vandenberg Air Force Base in California. And also on March 31st is the second full moon of March.
So and werewolves out there will have
the second blue moon of 2018.
So they'll be sad werewolves.
Aww.
Yeah.
All right, so in movie news, coming out March 29th, which is a Thursday.
Thursday.
Is Ready Player One. It's rated PG-13. Forget this. Action.
Action.
Go figure.
That's all it said.
Oh, wow.
All right, dramatic voice.
Dramatic voice.
In the near future, Wade Watts, a young outcast, escapes his daily drudgery by logging into an online game called The Oasis.
Oasis.
Not the band, but the game.
Oh, okay. Right.
When the game's billionaire founder dies, he offers players his fortunes as the prize in the virtual treasure hunt. So
it could be really good.
I've got some friends that loved the book. I've got some friends that hated the book. Mm-hmm. So
I found some interesting things out about that particular
movie.
That
they couldn't put the stuff in the book, not everything in the book in the movie, because they couldn't get the copyrights for it.
Yeah.
Like
Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Yeah.
But the thing that was most interesting was Ultraman.
Yes. Which
they couldn't get Ultraman?
Because it's involved in a copyright dispute right now.
With who?
I don't know.
That's so
But
cool.
Even the power of Steven Spielberg. Spielberg.
Although
Spielberg.
Even if they could have gotten him, I don't know if it would have been a good idea because not a lot of people would have recognized it. Whereas
I don't know. There was
Iron
enough
Giant,
geeks that if you
But there's
could.
People who love Iron Giant.
Yeah. And we could get Vin Diesel to go in there and go, would be cool.
Chelsea.
There's a dinosaur that burned down. So the 24-foot-tall Royal Gorge dinosaur at the Dinosaur Experience burned down yesterday. It smoldered for about 10 minutes due to an electrical failure, and now it's just a skeleton. They are working
aren't they all?
On...
Summer gas.
They're
going
to get a new one in about a week, but they're very happy with their staff. Their staff was able to get everybody away and contain the blaze so it didn't become, you know, a regular Colorado fire. So good job, guys. Hopefully we'll see another life-size T-Rex soon. Yay!
Well, there you go. And that's the news. So, this is episode number 326, which actually isn't really 326, but it's
season 3,
26 episodes, which makes it 326. But today actually happens to be March 26th, which is 326.
Coincidence?
We think not.
Well, coincidence is defined as the occurrence of events that happen at the same time by accident, but seem to have some connection, or the act or condition of coinciding. Well, this did coincide.
So it did.
So it's
technically
a coincidence. But we thought we'd do the whole show on coincidences because, hey, that's kind of funny that 326 fell on 326.
For ideas on shows.
And we didn't have anything better to do, so we were talking about some funny coincidences. So we've got a whole bunch of stuff that's just a whole bunch of interesting coincidences that we put down here.
Yep, and if it's a Curly Howard, it's a coinkydink.
Right.
I like Quinky Dink.
Quinky Dink.
So what coincidences do you have from your actual life? Do you have any that I know you do?
I had one that was kind of weird. I don't really catalog them. My brother's really bad at doing laundry. Like, he used to never do laundry. He'd just spray Axe over it and everything would smell really bad. So we took a flight down to Dallas and his bag wasn't coming out. And we were just, like, standing there waiting at the turnstile. My mom was like, oh my God, this bag isn't coming out. And I was like, watch, it's been bomb checked. And she was like, you can't say that in the airport. That's really bad. Don't say that in the airport. And an hour later, my brother's bag showed up. And it had been bomb checked.
That's because the dog probably smelled something.
Yeah, it smelled really bad.
It's pretty ripe, huh?
Like mangy teenager.
Ooh, nothing worse than mangy teenager.
Yeah.
Woof, woof. Wow.
So, I don't have a lot that I think about. And to me, coincidences don't have meaning. To me, it's all math.
Yeah.
And it's just, it happened to have happened. And to bestow any real meaning on it is superstition.
Right.
To me. But it's also, we're humans, so we recognize patterns.
Yes.
So it's easy to see the pattern of things. And one of the patterns that is recognizable in my life is one of my good friends, Alex. I actually had to run into three times before our friendship stuck because we kept losing each other's phone numbers because this was back before we had smartphones to remember right. All this. And
back when first, we all had stupid phones.
Yep. So the first time was at a card shop playing Magic the Gathering, lost numbers. Next time, I don't even remember where the second time was, but then the third time was at the very first NDK.
There you go.
And he had his SO with him, and I had my wife with me, and that's how the numbers were remembered, were the smarter halves. Remembered.
That's what SO stands for.
Smarter other.
Smarter other.
Or smarter otter if you're an otter.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, sometimes that happens too.
It does. And then, of course, that's how I met pretty much all my friends in Denver, was through Alex introducing me to the great
everybody
famous
else.
Greenwood.
Yep. Yeah, I don't believe necessarily in coincidences per se. I think they're unique and interesting. We've got some great ones written down here for novelty's sake.
For sure.
But I think that there's just only so many things that can occur. I did a study for a while. I have what I call my red light law, which is that for a while there, I would get stuck at this red light at near the house, and I got really aggravated because it seemed like no matter what time of day, this light would turn red just as I pulled up on it. And it was really irritating to me because it would be like 3 a.m. and I'd pull up on the light and it'd turn red. And it'd be like, you know, 4 p.m. and it'd turn red. And it wouldn't matter whether I had gotten caught at a light earlier or whether I snuck up on the light from some other angle or, you know, it didn't matter what. And so one day I took a notepad and I stuck it to my dashboard and I marked red lights versus green lights. And I put a pin and I stuck that to my dashboard too. Mm-hmm. And I marked the number of times that I went through that intersection. And would you believe it was 50-50?
Science!
And so I just didn't remember the green lights.
You just always remembered the red lights.
I remembered being annoyed by all the red lights. So now I call that my red light law because it's, you know, a lot of times we'll remember things and we'll get all annoyed and you always do blah, blah, blah. And you'll find out that no, they don't always do blah, blah, blah. You just remember them doing blah, blah, blah because you don't remember all the good times, the times that they didn't do blah, blah, blah. So that's sort of my story about coincidences.
Well, it has a message.
It has a message. It has a message indeed. So
I could tell Chelsea's super anxious to get to her, some of these crazy ones that she has.
Yeah, we've got some wild coincidences that we've got for you guys.
Some historical. I've got some movie stuff because movies, like I love movies. It's
well, go on ahead and
do it.
Tell it.
Do you want to start with movies?
Slap it to us.
Why not?
All right.
So movie stuff.
Let's start with some movie stuff. Everybody's seen Poltergeist, or at least heard of it. There was a huge curse with Poltergeist of the cast just dying off ridiculously quickly with the first three films.
Yep.
So, let's see. Dominic Dune, who played the lead's elder sister in the first film, was killed by her boyfriend. Heather O'Rourke was a lead in the movie, was wrongly diagnosed with a disorder and died. Julian Beck, who played an evil preacher, died of stomach cancer when the second movie was finished. Will Sampson, who played the medicine man in the second movie, died when the third one came out. Like, there were so many deaths associated with the Poltergeist series that it just kind of became a thing. You know, it was a curse. It was...
They called it the Cursed series.
Yeah, they did for a while. It was interesting. Brad Pitt played Achilles in the movie Troy. He tore his Achilles.
He was just a heel in that whole movie.
He was. He had no soul.
It was a decent movie. I just wish it was better. I didn't know he had torn his Achilles. My favorite one is Jim Caviezel when he was...
Caviezel.
Yeah. When he was filming the Sermon on the Mount and the Passion of the Christ, he got struck by lightning like three times.
And he survived all three times.
Yeah.
Oh. This is God saying, you know what? Don't do this.
I don't think the other two times would matter if he didn't survive the first time.
No.
It's just overkill.
He didn't survive the first one. They had to be resurrected. Uh-huh. It was the part.
Well, the first time killed him. The second time brought him back.
He was a method actor, man.
The third time killed him again.
Oh, God. Don't mention method actors.
He was a method actor.
Can't stand anyway. Method actors. Anthony Hopkins... was in a movie called The Girl from Petrovka. The movie didn't do too great. But Anthony Hopkins was looking all over for a copy of this book and could not find it. And he stumbled home and he found a copy on a bench. And he took it and read it. And he was ecstatic. And years later when they were filming, George Pfeiffer, the author, came on set. And he was like, oh, man, I can't find my version of my book with all my annotations and everything. And I left it on a bench. And so Anthony Hopkins was like, is this the copy you're looking for? Yeah, same freaking copy. How insane is that?
Mm-hmm. I've got one for you. MGM purchased a tattered coat from a local thrift store for actor Frank Morgan, who played the Professor Marvel character and Oz in The Wizard of Oz. And they wanted him to kind of look like a tattered old, you know, kind of guy. And they had no idea, but the coat they had purchased, where they looked in the inside and it had a tag in there, and it belonged to the writer, L. Frank Baum, who wrote The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, my God.
So they had bought the writer's coat in a thrift store, and they had no idea.
Oh, my God.
There's
That's
a coincidence.
Cool.
Yeah.
The Lee family. The Curse of the Lees.
Yeah.
Bruce Lee was in a movie called Game of Death, which has Bruce Lee playing an actor who is fighting a demon and is shot with a prop gun that actually turns out to be loaded. Well, his son was shot on the set of The Crow with a gun that was
turned out
accidentally.
Yeah, well, it wasn't. Yeah.
You said Curse of the Lees. It sounds like Curse of Lees.
Curse of Lees.
Most unfortunate of the Greek gods.
Poor Curse of Lees.
Yes.
He's so unfortunate, he didn't even get his name written down anywhere.
It's true.
Yeah. So that's an interesting thing. Also kind of bringing on some of those historical ones. We'll go, you know, we should probably take a break and then come back for
come
some
back
more
some history?
Interesting history ones.
Uh-huh.
When we come back after this.
Hi, I'm Dave Ward, author of a number of Star Trek novels, including History Shadow, and this is Geek Tank.
And we are back. We just happen to be here and you're here.
Oh, wait. What a coincidence.
Yeah. We're in our usual place. That was by design, actually, not by coincidence.
Yeah.
Starbucks, north of Alameda, south of First. So come join us on Tuesday night if you'd like.
Yeah.
You can be a guest on our show.
You'd be a what a heck of a coincidence.
Yeah.
So we're talking about coincidences.
Coinky dinks.
And we have some interesting historical coincidences that are interesting here, too.
Aha!
There were, for example, 112 people died on the Hoover Dam project. The first was J.G. Tierney, who died on December 20th, 1922. Mm-hmm. He drowned while looking for the ideal spot on the dam.
Oh my God.
The last was Patrick Tierney, who died on December 20th, 1935, 13 years to the day, falling from the intake tower. It was his son. So, 13 years to the day.
Speaking of falling, so one that I found, and these are, of course, we're reading them from the internet, so they have to be true.
They're right? Absolutely true. Actually, I vetted that. Okay. That is absolutely true.
I've not vetted this one, so I can't prove it or disprove it. In Detroit, sometime in the 1930s, a young, if incredibly careless mother must have been eternally grateful to a man named Joseph Figlock.
Yes!
As Figlock was walking down the street, the mother's baby fell from a high window onto Figlock. The baby's fall was broken, and both man and baby were unharmed. The stroke of luck on its own, well, I'm sorry, a stroke of luck on its own, but a year later, the very same baby fell from the very same window onto poor unsuspecting Joseph Figlock, as he was again passing beneath, and again, they both survived the event. I wonder if at that point he's like, I said, I'm not walking down the street anymore.
I'm not walking here anymore.
I wonder if at that point he was like, I'm adopting this baby and taking it away from
you. Yeah, obviously you need to keep the baby away from...
That's a bit heavier,
yeah.
So it's going to hurt more.
Definitely.
So, Violet Jessup. Violet Jessup was on the RMS Olympic when she struck the HMS Hawk, which was a boat.
There you go.
Thank you.
What's this all about?
The Olympic was a sister ship to the Titanic. Mm-hmm. And then later, Miss Jessup then sailed to the U.S. on the RMS or HMS Titanic, which of course promptly struck an iceberg and sank.
Oh my God.
She was rescued and then brought back, and then she decided to go into the service where she became a nurse and was assigned to the HMS Britannic, which was the other sister ship of the Olympic and the Titanic. The Britannic struck a mine and sank. She was rescued.
Putting her on ships.
This is actually, I mean, I vetted this one too. She actually really did do this, and I think she stopped going on ships after this.
At some point, you need to go, maybe I shouldn't be on boats anymore.
On the subject of funny ships, in the early days of World War I, the British Navy converted a cruise ship into a warship. This was called a Q-ship. Mm-hmm. The cruise ship was named the RMS Carmania, but they disguised her as a German cruise ship called the SMS Cap Trafalgar. On September 14th, 1914, she successfully snuck up on a real German ship and sank her off the coast of Brazil. But the German ship was also a Q ship. It was the real SMS Cap Trafalgar, which the Germans had disguised as the RMS Carmania.
They just flipped ships.
They flipped ships. So there you go.
Let's talk about some presidents.
Presidents.
Three of the first five presidents died on July 4th.
Yes. Fourth one decided not to.
Right. John Adams and Thomas Jefferson died in 1826, the 50th anniversary of the country's birth. And Adams' last words were, Thomas Jefferson survives, even though they died on the same day. James Monroe, the fifth president, died 5 years after that in 1831, which is kind of crazy when you think about it. Three of our founding fathers died on the anniversary of our nation's birth.
Yeah.
Some other presidential coincidences. There's that Lincoln-Kennedy conspiracy thing. Some of them are stupid.
Yeah.
Both were assassinated by Southerners.
Yeah, well.
Yes, Lee.
Well, Harvey isn't that a 50-50 chance? It's either Southerner or Northerner.
Yeah. So some of these, I'm on Snopes.com and they're like, this really isn't a coincidence. And I'm like, but it is, though. Abraham Lincoln was elected to Congress in 1846 and John F. Kennedy was elected to Congress in 1946, 100 years apart. They were also elected president 100 years apart, Lincoln in 1860 and Kennedy in 1960. They both were assassinated and shot in the head on a Friday. I think that's a coincidence.
Okay. Well, if you look at it mathematically, it's a 1 in 7 chance of it happening on the same day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's not as much of a coincidence as the 100 years apart,
mm-hmm.
but still.
I'm trying to find the rest of this because some of them are like, ridiculous.
It was like the Lincoln was shot in a theater named Ford, and Ford. Kennedy was shot in a car named Lincoln, or something like that. It was something like that. I can't remember. There was something like that. I'm pulling this all from memory now.
I know.
Well, you would.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Your mom.
Andrew Johnson succeeded Lincoln, who was born in 1808. Lyndon Johnson succeeded Kennedy, who was born in 1908. But Johnson's a fairly common name, so Snopes is like, whatever, that's not that big a deal.
Well, no, but that's still an interesting coincidence. There's nothing... Well, I guess really the question is this a coincidence or is this a conspiracy?
Right.
And I think a coincidence, it's interesting. A conspiracy...
Booth ran from a theater and was caught in a warehouse. Oswald ran from a warehouse and was caught in a theater. Mind you, it was a movie theater, so slightly different.
Well, you know, Booth was going to run to the movie from the movie theater, but they hadn't invented it yet.
So those are, like, the coincidences between Lincoln and Kennedy are kind of crazy. I wouldn't call it a conspiracy per se, because like they say, like, presidents are usually, you know, they go through Congress first and then they're elected president. And something being like 100 years apart, it happens every once in a while, apparently.
Right.
I'm just a jerk for pointing it out. Yep. Snopes doesn't think that's a super coincidence. They're like, yeah, whatever.
What about the coincidence with Mark Twain being born with Halley's Comet and then dying? He predicted he would die.
He would. He knew. He wanted to.
Now,
he kind of wanted to.
So if you want to leave with something that you came in with, why not?
It makes total sense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and you have things that, speaking of things that are apart from one another, Hitler and Napoleon, they had the same pattern. They were 129 years apart. They were born 129 years apart. They came to power 129 years apart. They both declared war on Russia 129 years apart.
Bad idea.
And they were both defeated 129 years apart.
Friends don't let friends invade Russia with wintertime approaching.
Don't invade Russia. Just
don't.
Don't. Just leave Russia alone.
Speaking of Russia, though, where is that guy's tomb? What was his name?
While you're looking for Russia, let me tell you another interesting fact. Our author Morgan Robertson wrote a book called Futility, The Wreck of the Titan, which is about the sinking of the unsinkable ocean liner 400 miles from Newfoundland going 25 knots, which hit an iceberg. It was written 14 years before the RMS Titanic was even built. The Titanic struck an iceberg 400 miles from Newfoundland going 22.5 knots. That's just creepy.
Knots.
Knots.
So
you said knots.
Yeah.
Timur was a ruthless invader. And he assumed the title of Great Khan in 1369. He started a campaign. He was a Mongol. He invaded a bunch of places.
All I got to do is say that Tamer is lame.
Skulls around, apparently. He liked to build pyramids out of them. That's kind of creepy.
Who doesn't?
It's great for architecture.
He's also known as Tamerlane, and his tomb is located in Uzbekistan. So he was buried there. And on his tomb, it said, if you open this tomb, you will see an invasion greater than mine ever was, an invading force.
Yep. Whomsoever should open this tomb will see an invasion greater than mine ever was.
So the Russians thought it was super cool to go find this tomb and go open it. They opened that tomb on June 20th of 1942. 42. No, it was 42.
Are you sure?
Yeah, because 42 is the answer.
Soviets opened the tomb on June 20th, 1940.
Oh, maybe it was 1940. Maybe I have the wrong date on here.
It should be 1940, because otherwise, if it was 42, it would have... Are we sure?
We're still going.
We'll Google it.
You guys keep talking.
But
buy me time.
Anyway, yeah.
2 days after they opened that tomb, the Nazis invaded Russia.
Yeah, I don't...
And that came without a formal declaration of war.
Yes.
So... a while after that, they started believing the curse, and the Soviets returned the remains to the tomb in December of 1940. They just have a typo on this website. In December of 1942, they returned the remains to the tomb, and a month later, the Nazis surrendered, and Stalin won the Battle of Stalingrad. And that battle remains as one of the bloodiest in the history of mankind, not just of World War II in particular.
Yeah, it's
so
pretty
good
brutal.
Job, Russians.
Yeah.
Don't mess with curses, guys.
Yep. So somebody should put that in the underside of their toilet seat. So when they open the toilet seat, it'll have that curse on it.
Yeah, there you go. So Tamur the Lame, he was lame in one leg, and that's why he had a limp. And so he was called Tamur the Lame, and ultimately became Tamerlane, or Tamerlane. And that's actually how he got his name. So that's why we call him Tamerlan, which actually happens to be the name of the starship that I use in my Star Trek fanfic.
Is it lame?
It is not a lame comic, though.
If you haven't checked out that comic, you really should.
You're lame if you don't check out the comic.
There you go. I'll go for that. Okay, guys. You know,
so I think we're going to lame ourselves out of here for a break, and we'll be back right after this.
This is Todd Jones. You are listening to Geek Tank.
So I've just been thinking that a lot of coincidences end up being called curses.
Yeah.
If people die.
If people die, it's a curse. If people don't die, it's a coincidence.
There's the 27 Club, which is a list of popular musicians, artists, or actors who've died at the age of 27, like Brian Jones, Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, Jim Morrison, Kurt Cobain, Amy Winehouse. Like, that's insane. But they do live kind of high-risk lifestyles. It's, like, very emotional and very roller-coastery.
At 26? Or how many people die at 28? It also makes you wonder about confirmation bias.
But there is a statistical spike for musicians who die at 27. They have studied it. They're not sure what the correlation is, but it tends to be just that life of drugs and alcohol and partying all the time. Like,
that's the end of your...
You will die from
that's the
that.
End of your tolerance
not
level.
Not everybody can be Keith Richards.
Yes.
Keith Richards is just...
He's the one that proves the law, the rule. He's the exception that proves the rule.
Exception to the rule.
But there have been so many people who have died at 27 years old, and they have like their official cause of death and exactly how many days into 27 years they were. It's kind of crazy, but it's definitely a thing. Oh, Anton Yelchin died at 27.
Yeah, he's part of the 27 Club.
He played in a punk rock band.
Well, that's it. Whoa. If you play in a punk rock band, you will die at 27.
Well, it's mostly music. It's mostly musicians.
But if you're over 27 and you're playing a punk rock band, you rip up on the time continuum?
Well, no, nobody over 27 plays in a punk rock band. Everybody knows that.
I don't know about that.
Panic at the Disco is still a band.
Okay, so... Here's some other interesting facts. The graves of the first British soldier and the last British soldier to die in World War I are just 7 meters apart, and they face each other, even though that was a complete accident. Nobody meant to do that.
I think
it just
that's
happened.
Kind of sweet.
Yeah.
In a sad way. I don't know. It's a nice coincidence. It's not like a curse.
Yeah.
It's very sweet.
I agree.
I have a coinkydink about a very patient bullet.
A very patient bullion?
Yeah.
What?
A bullet.
Oh.
So a man decided that he would get revenge against a man named Zieglind when his sister committed suicide. Zieglind broke her heart. So she commits suicide. He shot at Zieglind and missed, and the bullet lodged in a tree. Later, these guys were back together hanging out, clearing out the same land, and used dynamite to remove the tree. The bullet dislodged and killed Zieglind. He got his comeuppance.
So Wilmer McLean lived in a house on a ranch in a place called Bull Run when the Civil War broke out in his front yard. He got fed up with the war, so he moved to Appomattox Courthouse, where ultimately General Lee surrendered in his front room.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Bookends. Nice.
Literally,
bookends.
The Civil War started in his front yard and ended in his living room.
That's they must have done that symbolically.
I don't know if it was symbolic or not, but yeah. Whichever way it went, that's the way it ended up.
Okay. King Umberto I of Italy had this super weird dining experience. He found out the owner of a restaurant that he was eating at was born on the same day in the same town, and both had married a woman named Margarita. Another part of this, supposedly, is that they looked very similar. But on July 29th of 1900, the king learned that the restaurant owner had been shot and killed in the street. And then later that day, the king was also assassinated.
Really?
Guy missed the first time.
Hmm.
He came back for the second.
So this is why I like movies like Final Destination.
Right. Yeah. So, Superman and Batman's mothers were both the same named, and so Wonder Woman was the best part of that movie.
According to that writer.
I think that's the only reason we really watched it, though.
That's really the only reason I watched that movie.
I mean, I also
Wonder Woman was the best part of that movie.
But
Wonder Woman was awesome.
We didn't do the taxi one yet, did we?
In
1975, while riding a moped in Bermuda, a man was accidentally struck and killed by a taxi. 1 year later, this man's brother was killed in the very same way. In fact, he was riding the very same moped. And to stretch the odds even further, he was struck by the very same taxi driven by the same driver and even carrying the very same passenger.
That poor passenger.
I think the two of them had it out to kill them. No,
yep,
just kidding.
It was a hit.
It was a hit. It was planned.
To speak. It wasn't very fair.
Do you ever hear about the book that came true? Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah, I was about to read that.
That's what
one.
I thought.
Read
the narrative the of Arthur Gordon
and
Pym.
And we actually both went to the same story at the same time.
That's creepy.
It's a coincidence.
I didn't do it.
Edgar Allan Poe wrote a story called The Narrative of Arthur Gordon Pym of Nantucket, mm-hmm. which takes place on a ship at sea, which gets lost, and the crew has to draw lots, and they are forced to eat their cabin boy, Richard Parker.
Yep.
46 years later, there was an actual disaster of a ship, the Mignonette, which gets lost at sea, and the crew has to draw lots. They ended up eating their cabin boy, whose name was Richard Parker.
That's
really creepy.
So creepy. Like, that's
I'd
not
almost,
okay.
It, you know, if anybody on board had read the book, I'd almost say, you know, Richard, you get a pass because that's just creepy.
just, oh, God. It is interesting, though, because of all the books to come true, an Edgar Allan Poe book is...
Yeah, because anytime ravens start speaking to me, that's it. I know about right there. Gone.
It's interesting to think that Jimi Hendrix and George Handel would have been neighbors if not for the 200 years that separates them.
Yeah.
They lived at 23 and 25 Brook Street in London. And you think they're two great musical geniuses. Lived two houses away from each other.
In 1895, there were only two cars in the entire state of Ohio, and they crashed into each other.
I think that was planned.
I don't know.
It was an insurance scam.
Yes.
Wasn't there something about James Dean's car? He crashed in that car after he did a PSA about driving really fast on the highway, speeding.
Oh, I just happened, coincidentally, to scroll to that very story.
Oh, hey.
Well, read it to us then.
In 1955, James Dean would own a Porsche Spyder, one of only 90 in the world. The vehicle would kill him in a fiery crash, but the I'm going to say this word as written. It goes right up to our PG-13 line. The little bastard, as he dubbed it, would live out its name in infamy. The Porsche was basically an agent of Satan. I guess that's what it is. I'm reading this.
Supposedly.
The man who bought Little Bastard after Dean's death, George Barris, would restore it. While mechanics were unloading it, the engine fell out and broke both an engineer's legs. The parts were later sold to Troy McHenry and William Estrid, two physicians and racing nerds, who would face the wrath of Little Bastard during a contest at the Pomona Fairgrounds. Both installed parts from the Porsche, and McHenry's vehicle slammed into a tree, killing him instantly. Yeah, the tree survived. Estrid's car flipped, and he sustained life-threatening injuries. Barris still owning a lion's share of the parts, reluctantly sold two of its tires to a boy. A short time later, both tires blew out and the boy would die. What was left of Little Bastard was sold to the California Highway Patrol. Within 2 days, the garage hosting the car burnt to the ground and every vehicle within was destroyed except for Little Bastard. Auctioned to an exhibit, the Porsche crushed a teen's hip when it fell from the display. Through all of this, a young man tried to steal the steering wheel and he gashed his arm significantly. In 1960, Little Bastard mysteriously disassembled, and broke into 11 pieces, rendering it useless for good. George Barris like said he had, quote, bad feelings about the Porsche Spyder when he first saw it. This has to be what inspired Stephen King to write Christine.
Yeah, totally. This is totally Christine.
And so, yeah.
So let's talk about the curse of King Tut's tomb. So,
oh yeah, good old Tutankhamun's tomb.
Howard Carter had a team that he opened the tomb and then later visited the tomb in 1925. Carter's friend Sir Bruce Ingram received a paperweight. And it was a mummified hand with its wrist adorned with scarab bracelets marked with, "Cursed be he who moves my body. To him shall come fire, water, and pestilence." After receiving that gift, Ingram's house burned down. And then it was flooded when it rebuilt.
Insurance.
Did he get a disease?
I don't know. There's no reports of pestilence. But there's a lot of things like... Even though, you know, there were like 58 people on the team, there was a good number of people who died.
Wasn't the actual majority of the thing caused by mold?
I could see that because, I mean, so many things are trapped in there. I mean, it's
black mold.
Yeah. King Tut's, the curse of King Tut was mostly mold. Yeah.
Oh. That was like ancient.
Yeah.
And had something that couldn't be like.
Like, yeah, I mean, bugs transfer stuff and stuff.
And which is why
and
you
gases
run from bugs.
And creepy things, so
yeah,
it's all a coincidence, isn't it?
It's all wonderful coincidences. What a great story.
Let's skip over to our owl.
Okay, so it's time for our Ask Us Anything. And our question for the day comes from Reddit. And the question is, what movie traumatized you as a kid? And I'm going to pass this to...
Was it one with big roaches?
Pass it with Troy.
No.
Was it one with jump scares?
I'm passing it to Troy.
Was it one with jumpy, scary roaches?
Scary roaches.
Okay.
I'm passing it to Troy.
So I would have to say this is because I was 6 years old when I saw this.
Yep.
It most likely would not have traumatized me had I not been six. And I'm sure I've mentioned this on the show at some point. But since the question is there, I'm going to answer the question. What? Yeah, that's it. This was, I don't remember how they did the rating system at this point, but my mom did not realize that Jaws was going to be as scary as it was. And she took me to, the whole family went to see it when I was six. And I forgot quite a bit about it. And recently, like a week ago, they were shown it on TV and I watched it. And within the first like 20 minutes, a kid gets eaten on a raft. And I'm like, oh, no wonder this frightened me as a child.
Yeah, if you're a bad kid, Jaws will get you.
So I think it was a flip-flop, but I also part of my brain remembers it being the whole bucket of popcorn. Maybe it was both. But when the shark first appears and jumps out, I remember... my mom having some reaction where either she kicked her foot and the flip-flop shot across the theater or she tossed her popcorn in the air. It could have been both. I was too young to remember that part, and that part of the story
was flip-pop.
Retold to me by my brother.
Right.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, don't take six-year-olds to see Jaws.
Yeah, maybe not.
What about you, Chels?
Coincidentally, Jaws did scare me as a kid as well. I just didn't like sharks. Because they're creepy.
Yeah, although you have a better chance of getting struck by lightning.
That is true. That is
than getting killed by
true.
A shark.
I was super terrified of Michael Jackson's Thriller music
video. I'm super terrified of Michael Jackson, too. Especially now.
Because it came out as like a movie, right? It was the album Thriller. They had a movie of all of the music videos and they kind of strung them together. But Thriller just scared the pants off of me as a kid. I had nightmares for like weeks. And I don't even know why. Like, I can watch it now and it's not a big deal. But I think I was just so like startled by the makeup at that point. It really freaked me out. I did not like werewolves at all.
I could see that. Werewolves. They're wolves.
Werewolves.
For me, it was Poltergeist. In the world was I doing watching Poltergeist?
Why? Yeah.
Because one of the best jump scares in it.
Yeah.
It's a fake out jump scare.
It is horrible. It is a horrible movie full of horrible nastiness. And I don't know what in the world. My cousin was doing the I dare you to watch Poltergeist with me.
No.
And I totally did. And oh my goodness. And it's all his fault. And I blame him. But the clown.
Well, yeah,
and the tree.
He looks under the bed,
yeah.
And you fully expect the jump scare there.
And it's not there.
It's not there. And then the music stops, and then he sets up every evening, and boom, there he's
and
there.
And there's the clown.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was
it is the worst.
One.
It is the worst.
Which means it's the best.
Right. Oh, that is a horrible, horrible movie. That movie is full of just horrible.
You should write to us and tell us what movie traumatized you as a child.
Yeah, definitely.
questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com. Well, that's all the time we have for today. I'd like to thank the internet for giving me all this interesting information for coincidences.
And I'd like to thank all the fates that be for lining up all the coincidences, which I do not believe in anyway.
The stars aligned.
The stars aligned.
And I want to know what your favorite kind of coincidence is, even if it's like not necessarily true. If somebody tried to make it true and it was really interesting or funny, let us know.
Yep. Well, that's all the time we have for today. I've been Guy.
I've been Troy.
And I've been Chelsea.
And this is Geek Tank 326.
As always, you can email us at questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com. Join the conversation on Twitter @RMGeekTank. You can also follow us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Tumblr for Rocky Mountain Geek Tank. Feel free to join the conversation. We look forward to hearing from you.
Geek Tank is a production of Foxblade Media and is protected under the Creative Commons 3.0 license.
Your hosts today were Guy S. Davis, C. Troy Floor, and Chelsea Kramer.
Kevin Weibler is our engineer, and our music was composed by David Coyle. Geek Tank is funded by listeners like you. Please consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/Foxblade.
I'm Mike Davis, reminding you to set your clocks forward 24 hours tonight. Good night.